stencils available any place online?
It's on HebrewBooks.org.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I actually, it's pretty common safer. Most people have it at home.
Doesn't mean you can buy it in the store.
No, sure you can buy it in the store.
You can.
Yeah. It's not a stencil anymore. They called it stencil because it used to be printed in stencil. Nowadays, I think, like for many decades, they reprinted in stencils just to be traditional. I think by now they've given in and started printing it in regular fonts. But it's available everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to come by. But they're very old printings on HebrewBooks.org. As a matter of fact, HebrewBooks.org has the first printing, which is in no order. It's Simon Base. But you can't buy that anymore. All the modern day printings are in order of Shas. So I think this is in Nida. Okay, so the payment base says Al-Li'ol Mikrokama, right? This is our last and Baruch Hashem successful attempt at proving that I say Dofa Losase. We go back to Tzitzis, and the problem with Tzitzis is that there was no Mukhne. So they say, no, MK, Lema Kro Tzitzis Nasalach, Gedilim Lamali. Here the mufne is a little bit, we're desperate, a funny mufne. It could have said lashon, not that it's an extra word, but there's an extra shinoi lashon, it could have said tzitzis tasalach, just like it said in the end of Parsha Shlach. Why does it have to say gedilim shmamin alef nuye? They say, no, hi, the shiur dudasa. We need gedilim for a different reason. The gedil is shnayim, that's to teach you how many tzitzis you need. Okay, we're not going to get into the whole, this whole issue, we'll just deal with being first the words on the daf. Dil shnayim gvilim arba asik dil ufoslehu mitochel. Ufoslehu comes from Nusval. It says zakonaf pisil techelos. So there's this drosha of gedil shnayim gvilim arba asik dil ufoslehu mitochel. There's a big machlok between Rashi and Tosos here. Gedil means two, because a gedil means a braid, and you need at least two to make a braid, and therefore gedilim, or two gedils, are four. Of course, the question is, how do we get from four to eight? So we know how we get from four to eight. We fold them. Put it through and fold them, but mehechi tesi, you should fold these four, maybe you should just hang down four. So Rashi says, not so clear what he says, gedilim arba chutin demiyat gedilim shnayim uchsev nasval tzitzis akana psil omer tor asem mehanach arba chutin gedil echad. Make one gedil, make one big braid from, I mean, not the kind of braid we use nowadays, from these four chutin. So far, it sounds good. The havelu ches chutin shetocham beknaf abeged, which turn into eight when you put them through the knaf. Rashi is not so clear how we get from four to eight. That's Tosas's problem. We're not sure how we get from four to eight. Rashi's a little bit tzarech ion. How does he know that you're supposed to fold the four in half and make eight? He doesn't totally say. Maybe if you want to defend Rashi, you could say that's what he means by he brings in another possibility. So he says, "Menasval tzitz akonav psil." On the one hand, means like you should make. It means maybe he thinks. I'm still not sure exactly how this works out. That "Menasval tzitz akonav" means you have to hang it down from the kanaf, which means put the middle of the kanaf and hang them down. So it could be that Rashi somehow understands that gedila means four strings, and v'nasnu al tzitzis kanaf, the psil, means like the al ha-kanaf should be the psil. Maybe he understands that means you should fold it over the knaf ha-beged. Still not so clear, it's a bit of a tzarech ion on Rashi, how he knows you should have eight strings and not just four. Tosos has a good answer, yeah.
Is not enough that the Gemara says it? Or can we just assume like that was the Asara, that was the Lacha Rishmisa?
But then why do you gedil gedila? If it's a lach moshe b'sinai, then why do you need a drasha for? They could have said that. How do we know that tefillin and ritzuas are black? So you don't need any drasha, but then we don't need gedil gedilim. So Tosas actually has a nice answer. So Rashi is a little unclear how he knows you need eight. Tosas says, no, you have to read the whole sentence. What did the Torah say? Asig dil gedil shayim gedil arba asig dil foslehu mitocho. What does foslehu mitocho mean? So Tosos says foslehu mitocho means that apparently psil. Apparently Tosos knew. I'm not such a bucky, so I have to ask an archaeologist. That psilim are always folded in half. in the middle. So osay gedil posle mitocho, from the gedil gedil you need four, and from the word psil, which is posle mitocho, you know you have to fold those four in half and make eight. Then it works out very nicely. So Rashi is a bit of a sort of, even Tosfos works out nicely. He says that's what posle mitocho means. That's why we're bringing in posle mitocho. Make a gedil, which is four in the end, and fold them in half is poslehu mitocho, fold them in the middle. Because somehow the lashon of psil means to fold it because you have to fold a wick. Probably someone who's used a lot of wicks can tell me why it's good to fold a wick. In the Shita Mekubetzes here, there's a little known Shita Mekubetzes on Yevamos. Apparently, you know, from YU. The one who published all those books, they all look the same. He published like 100 like obscure Rishonim. They're like reddish brown with like a black band here and a gold that says what it is. Like all the Mechtams and the Sefer Ma'oros and all those sort of obscure Rishonim. It's hard to describe. Anyway, he put out a Shita Mekubetzes, like Saviat, a few pages of Shita Mekubetzes from Rav Saul Ashkenazi on Maseches Yevamos. It's just like it never got published because they didn't have so much of it. And maybe they didn't discover it when they published things. And also he puts out something else called the Gilyon Tosos from Eliezer Mitoch. They both say the same thing here. They say a different shot, how we know you need eight, which is going to get into the problem that Yoshua gets into. They say, well, they must have had a Masora that Tzitzis is the gematria of 600, and you need five knots and eight strings to make 613 to remind you of all the mitzvahs, like Rashi says in Chumash. Normally we think that's just a drash. He says, no, this is a real, like, Masora, Halacha, Moshe, Sinai, that needs to add up to 613 to remind you of all the mitzvahs. And he says, that's how we know you need eight. That's how they know you need to fold and make eight. That's just a little difficult, because if you have this Halacha, Moshe, Sinai, why do you need Gedil Gedilim? So, l'chor, the best pshat is the Shita Mekubetzes has a nice pshat, Halacha, Moshe, Sinai, because this cute drash, but not clear why you need Gedil Gedilim. Rashi doesn't say exactly how he knows you're supposed to fold them, that Nusnal Tzitz HaKonof apparently means folding. He doesn't say how he knows. Chori, the best shot is Tosos, that poslein mitocho, and it's Meduik and Argamar. Why do they bring in poslein mitocho? And there are different explanations. Poslein mitocho means to fold them in half. Okay, you have to assume that the word psil implies folding in half, but that's probably the best shot. In terms of the poslein mitocho, there are three different shot what poslein mitocho means. One is Tosos, it means fold them in half. That's how you get eight. What's Rashi's shot in poslein mitocho? Right, poslein mitocho means you don't braid at all. Asik dil poslein mitocho. What's it doing in our Gemara? Gdil means to braid it. You might think you braid the whole thing, right? You tie the whole thing. So no, psil means what they call in Maseches Menachos the anaf, the things that are hanging down. It means you shouldn't tie it all. You should leave some just hanging loose, which we all do. The Miri adds a little. Poslein mitocho is like means that davka. Not just you should leave some loose strings. The loose strings should come out of the braid, so you shouldn't leave loose strings and then tie. You should tie, and then the loose strings come out on the bottom. So it's teaching you precisely, he adds to Rashi, that first you have to tie, that's the gedil, and then out of the tie, hanging down, have to come the anaf, the loose strings, which is, of course, what we do. Rashi in Menachos actually has 2 days about this. He says another pshat. He says, poslein mitocho means poslehu, here we read psil as meaning the tying string, right? There's one string we tie around. Mitocho, it counts as one of them, says that the count includes the one you tie with. You don't need eight strings plus one to tie it. The one you tie it counts towards the strings. So therefore, it's also relevant to this teaching how many strings that you need to have four turn into eight, including the one you tie with, not in addition. Okay, those are three pshat in poslehu mitocho, either Tosos folded in half and make four into eight, or Rashi in Yevamos and Menachos, that you have to leave in the Meiri. You have to, out of the braid has to come loose strings, or Rashi's other Pshat Menachos, that the one you tie with counts. All right, that's about, I think, as far as we're going to get into Tzitzis now. Now the Gemara says, in vain, fine. So we need to find another Mufna. Le Makra, Lo Silva Shatnez, Temru Pishtim, Yachtov Lamali. Why do we need Yachtov? Why do you need yachtov? Well, silver shatn is semer pishtim. Obviously, it doesn't mean you shouldn't wear semer or pishtim. It means you shouldn't wear semer and pishtim together. So why do you need yachtov? No, you need yachtov to teach you what's the geder of what's the gedder of togetherness, that it's only us, or if it's yachdav, meaning double stitch, and not if there is a single stitch. Okay. Tos says also it means not if you wear two separate things that are not stitched at all. Okay, some Rishonim say, no, it's obvious that two separate things not stitched at all is mutter. The chiddush is, even if they're a little attached, it's mutter, only if it's yachdav, they're properly attached, like a real malach of shtei tchifos, then it's usher. So, MK, shot is lom, at least then what do you mean shot is? Shmami nilof, that must be the mufneh. No, v'akadim goy le'ashay shua tovi v'noz. Right? Must be, you need shatnes for shua tovi v'noz. So now we're stuck, we need gedilim for the number of strings, we need yachta for shtei tchifos versus one tchifa, and we need shatnes for shua tovi v'noz. Okay, then they say this cryptic line, elakulim yishatnes nafka, which we'll come back to. But the big machlok we've shown him here, this is very hard to keep track of, just the posh and pshat. And then we'll try to explain it. What does shua tovi v'noz mean? So first of all, we're not even sure what shua tovi and noz, what each word means. Shua definitely means some sort of smoothing, and the definitely means some sort of smoothing. And what Rashi and most Rishonim say is that shua means a kind of smoothing, which is you comb the fibers, right? When you harvest fibers, either from your plant, if it's pishtim, or from your sheep, shearing your sheep, if it's semer, the first halacha you have to do, right, is combing to make it straight strings and clean strings. That's shua. At least that's what most people assume. The Rambam gives a slightly different shot. Shua means smoothing, so you smooth something when you comb it. The Rambam says it might mean smoothing out felt, because the way you make felt is, what's felt? Felt is like what hats are made of, like, you know, like black hats, proper hats, are made of felt. What felt is they just take fibers and they like squish them together and wet them, and then they dry, I mean, I'm sure it's a little more complicated, into like a very hard shape, and they keep that shape for a long time, unless you don't treat them well, and you have to smooth it out. So we'll come back to the Rambam. But for now, let's assume shua means you comb them. Tovi, everyone knows what tovi means, that is spinning. Spinning is, right, these are all in the 39 malachos. Right, you ever wonder how you get string of, like, any fiber, like, they come in this long, right? Whether it's wool or cotton or whatever, how does it turn into a roll of string that's a kilometer long? So that's a spinning wheel. That's been done, you know, since Mikadmas Dana, and I think they basically do it the same way, just as a machine nowadays, and I don't really know how it works, one of these niflos of Teva, but somehow if you just spin it all together, then each fiber gets somehow so strongly attached to the next fiber that it makes a chain of fiber. There's a real string that's like one long string. And nose is a little unclear what it means. What are the two pshat in nose?
Arig,
right? One pshat in nose is weaving, right? That's how you make the oven, right? Shua, tovi, and nose. And Rabbi Natan's pshat in nose is shazer, which is twisted. That's like, if you look at our tzitzis, you see that it was once shua, and then they were tovi, and they made strings. But if you look at our tzitzis strings, sometimes if your tzitzis are in bad shape, they start to unravel. You see they're made of different strings. That's not the spinning coming apart. Spinning can't come apart. That's the shazira coming apart, that there were different strings. They had a roll of thread, took different strings, and spun them together, and made a very thick string. And that's why our tzitzis are such thick strings, like Chazal say they did in the Malach HaMishkan, right? They had even 28 strings in, 28 spun string in some of the Begadim. Okay, based on the Pasuk of Sochat Chilos, Sochat Argaman, etc. Now, what's the problem? The problem is, what does Rashi seem to say? Tosos quotes from the Rivan, Rashi Solomon of the Rivan apparently said this very, very clearly, but Rashi seems to say it pretty clearly, that what does Shua Tovi V'noz mean? Shua tovi v'noz means you got to take your woolen linen and comb them together and spin them together and weave them together. And then it becomes a chefta of shatnez. That is certainly what Rashi sounds like here in the Nida. And that's what they quote the Rivan, right? Aim the first one. If you run shua tovi the v'noz, at least in the Kisra Yad, that's what it says on the side here, of yachat tzemer u pishtim. Right, so that seems to be the simple shot that it means, right, what is shua?
the nose. So one is Rashi, sounds like, and the Rizvan is very clear. It means Tovi, the nose, biyachet.
Right, you're really making the chetz of Kalayim. What's the, of course, the most significant problem with Rashi's pshat? And Agav, the Raivan Toras Konim seems to assume also like Rashi. Rashi's not a Shiva Zyachd here. The Raivan Toras Konim seems to assume the same thing. We'll come back to it. What, of course, is the Chisorin in this pshat? What's difficult? Tzitzis, right? Our whole Gemara comes out of the assumption that Tzitzis is a Chetz of Shabbos, and therefore it's a Seidoch HaLosaset. But in Tzitzis, they're actually neither, not only aren't they Shua, Tovi, and those Biyachad, they're not even any of them, right? They're not combed together. You comb each fiber separately. What's the classic case of Tzitzis? You put wool strings on a linen baguette, so each fiber was combed separately. Each fiber was spun separately. Each fiber was woven separately, or at least the baguette was woven out of flax, and the strings weren't really woven at all out of wool. They were just twisted together or whatever. And then you just tie it onto the corner. So where's the Shua Tovi V'nos? That's why everyone in the world rejects Rashi. That's why everyone in the world rejects Rashi. So we'll have to come back, of course, and defend Rashi. But what does Rabbeinu Tam do then? What does Rabbeinu Tam's Chiddush?
Separate.
Exactly. He says, and most Rishonim, I think, follow Rabbeinu Tam. It's always hard to count the most Rishonim, but at the very least, the, you know, sort of all the Rishonim, the Beit Midrash and Ramban, right? The Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ritva, both here and in Yidin Daf Samach Aleph, Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, many Rishonim follow Rabbeinu Tam. Says what it means is Shua, Tovi, the nose, Kol Echad, the body. Each one has to be separately Shua, Tovi, the nose, and then, if each one is separately Shua, Tovi, the nose, then it's, then, it can, and then you put them together, it's shotness. So, what it means is that, at least so far, if you comb the linen and the wool, each one in their own factory, and spin them, each one in their own factory, and weave them, each one in their own factory, and then sew them together into a jacket, then that's shotness. Except, right, I made a little mistake here, right, on purpose. Weaving, hold on a second. If you're saying they each need to be combed, spun, and woven together, it's not so much foolish in Tosis, the logic I'm about to say, but it's obvious that's what he needs. If each one needs to be combed, spun, and woven individually, and then you put them together, then what still doesn't make sense? Tzitzis. Because in tzitzis, the baguette is woven, but the strings are not woven, right? They're strings. Strings can't be woven. So, Rabbi Natan doesn't say this so mefurish, but I think this is basically what he says. Below knows the Efshar Shehe Klayim. So what does Rabbeinu Tam have to say nose means?
Spun is twisted.
Exactly. So these are the only Mishonim who say nose means shazer. Nose means shazer, not arbitrary. Against, that's the end of Tosos, the Pashup shot in Klein Tesches. Right? Rav Yitzchak Lava and asked the Kasher Rabbeinu Tam, it says the Mishnah Klein. Ein Chai Mishnah Klein, that was Tovi V'Orig Shenemar Shat Neshua Tovi V'Nose. It says you're only Chai for Orig because it says Shua Tovi V'Nose. It's obvious that nose means Orig. It says Orig because of nose. And Tam says, no, that's not what they meant. What they meant is Ein Ochayev Mishon Tovi V'Orig. Tovi only chayiv to shua tovi nose, and arid means you're only chayiv you weave them together because that's yachdav. So Rabbeinu Tam has been nidchak in Mishnah Klayim. Pasha Mishnah Klayim says nose is the makor of arid. Rabbeinu Tam has to be nidchak because he wants to say each one separately, and that explains tzitzis. So you have to say that each one separately has to be. He has to make two assumptions. Each one separately has to be shua tovi nose, but nose must mean twisting, and What other assumptions did he make? This is not so much an artosos, but above in tosos dafdalam and beis and rasul va'amar, he has to assume that tzitzis are right. Tzitzis, each one is not woven, but what does he assume? Right, and you have to assume that tzitzis are exactly are shizurim. You have to assume that tzitzis are shizurim, but otherwise there's no. Otherwise, there's no klayim and tzitzis. And he says, therefore, it must be that they knew misvara that tzitzis strings had to be shuzer. How exactly did they know that strings had to be shuzer? Because he quotes the Sefri that psil tchilus means tovoy v'shuzer. So they understood that a psil meant something that was tovoy v'shuzer. Therefore, the strings of the tzitzis have to be shuzer. Does the beged have to be shuzer? No, the beged doesn't have to be shuzer, right? But he says that stam begadim in their days were shuzer, and obviously the Torah means to make tzitzis on stam begadim. So therefore he says, stam begadim, that's why some people have shuzer on their tzitzis nowadays. All talisim, I think, come with shuzer at the ends. It says in those days they used to be shozer, the ends of the beged. I'm not sure why they used to be shozer, the ends of the beged. I assume that somehow that helped keep the weaving from unraveling, right? What keeps it from unraveling? Nowadays you make a fancy hem, whatever. I guess if you just twist the strings at the end, it helps keep it from unraveling. That's why in modern day talises, they always have the twisted strings at the end. They come out and then instead of ending it normally, they twist them. Why? That's because of this Tosfos. It says, oh, a stam beged is shuzer, even though it's not a halachic requirement. Right, that's just a stam beged in the zman of the Tanakh and Chazal. It's nice to have the old kind of beged. That's why some people in the Talis Katan, you see, they have shuzer at the end of the Talis Katan. The Mukher is from this Rabbeinu Tam, who says a stam beged has shuzer at the end, and he brings a raya. There's a gemara someplace that says, if you find shuzer, treles, maybe it was meant just for the end of a beged, and maybe it was meant for tzitzis. So, therefore, you have to assume tzitzis must be shuzurin. Right, that's Tosus on Daf Beis. Tzitzis must be shizurim, and Stam Beged has shizurim. Stam Beged has shizurim at the edge. Tzitzis have to be shizurim. Therefore, the Torah is telling you to put tzitzis on Stam Beged means you take two things, or each Shua Tovim knows, and attach them together, and that is Usher. Okay. That is Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, but yesh bo tzat min hadchak, because he has to redefine nose in a way that's not the pashut pshat in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah in Kalayim.
Why doesn't the beged have to be shuzer as well? If that's one of the two ingredients in the
Mishnah. Because you don't have to make Kalayim and tzitzis.
No, but
if at all, the beged is allowed to be. Semer, it's semer. It doesn't have to be tzitzis. Okay. Just a stam beged, which includes a beged pishton, the Torah told you to make tzitzis on, so you assume even a stam beged is a shuzer, you have to make tzitzis on. No one said tzitzis has to be klayim.
Oh, we're saying
you're not saying. Or never klayim.
If it would be klayim, it would have to be shuzer, meaning, in order to have a scenario of tzitzis being klayim.
It would have to be shuzer, correct. Meaning you could have said, the Torah could have told you just never be shuzer your beged, no problem. But we assume the Torah meant the stam beged and wasn't telling you to make weird begadim. Okay, so what are the other pshatim here? What are the other pshatim besides Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam?
Rambam.
The Rambam and the Rashi Mishnas, right? The Rashi Mishnas I pointed out is it's a Rashi Mishnas a claim. It's also quoted as a Yeshu Farshim and Tosos Rush here. What does? Let's start, if you'll forgive me, with the Rashi Mishnas. Right, what is the Rashi Mishnas? Right there in the Mishnah Klayim, what does he say? In between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It's the Yesh Mefarshim and the Tosfos Rush. Right, the Tosfos Rush doesn't say who he's quoting. But it's a fact that he was quoting the Rashi Mishnas because the Rashi Mishnas is the one who says it. What does the Tosfos Rush quote in the name of the Rashi Mishnas? It's even a sort of like a Havamina in our Tosfos. It's just not like quoted as a Shita. Right, what could you say if you wanted to compromise? Right, what does he say here? I'll read you from the Tosfos Rush here. He says, I'm going to find it. Vieshim Farshim. Yeah, sorry, all the way to the beginning of the rest. Shua Levad, V'tovi Levado, V'noz Yachad, V'hainu Arug. Right? Yesh V'farshim, what does he say? He says, Shua V'noz Kol Echad Levad. Right? Oh, sorry. That's not what I meant. Where's my ring? What I meant was, Shua V'tovi Kol Echad Levad knows Biyachad. Right, they can each have Shua V'Tovi separately, but the nose has to be together. Now, how does that help us? For? Does that help us for Tzitzis? Is that going to help us for Tzitzis? If you say the Shua V'Tovi, meaning they each have to be combed and spun separately. And then they have to be woven together. Tzitzis aren't woven together. Is that going to help us at all?
You have to say nose means twisted.
What?
You have to say nose means twisted.
No, but it doesn't matter. They're not twisted together either, right? This is the whole point. Nose means noses together, right? Since they aren't twisted together, they're each twisted separately, right? So he's not explicit here about, and also says nose yachad hainu arig. Nose, let's assume everyone says nose means arig unless proven otherwise. So can anyone defend like how the Rosh Mishantz would explain why tzitzis are kalayim? I don't think it's so hard.
Tying?
What?
Tying them?
That tying them is?
Shanis.
Why? Because tying them is?
Equivalent
to? Arig. Right. Tying them is equivalent to Arig. Meaning, you only need one thing together for the Rosh Mishantz, right? Shu and Tovi just means they need to be normal strings. They need to be normal strings, right? What's that Lafuke that most people assume there's no Issa Doraisa Shatnas in? What's not Tovi? What's not Tovi? Felt. Right? If you have your hat made out of tzemer and pishtim, felt is not Tovi. Because what happens to felt? You just take raw fibers and you never make them into string. String is not going to help for felt. Instead of Tovi means you use some natural sticking power that I don't understand to make this fibers into a long string. That's Tovi. That's the spinning wheel. Right? That's what old women used to do in all the spare time in the old days. They used to spin. That's what it means. But felt, you use that same sticking power of the fibers, but instead of using it to make it into a long ball of thread, you use it to make it into a hard shape. Somehow you have to wet it and dry it properly in the right temperature and whatever. And so that's not Tovi. So in Shu and Tovi, it has to be something made out of real thread. Felt is not Shatnez Midoraisa. There goes Midorabot, but we're not getting to that now. Right? Shu and Tovi call Ech Levadi. You need to start with thread. You know what Arig means? Arig doesn't mean it has to have the tsura of arig necessarily. Arig means you have to start with thread, and arig means and you have to combine the threads. Right? Yeah, so what can you say? The Rosh Hashanah doesn't explain, but how do you explain tzitzis? Explain that arig is lav davka. It means arig doesn't mean it has to be woven. Arig means, once you have threads, they have to be attached. Right? It means attached. And kshira is equivalent to arig. That is lechora what the Rosh Mishantz has in mind. That's lechora what he has in mind, that shu and tovi are about the quality of the thread. Arig, what do you mean? Why should arig be together? That's what Rabbi Tam says. Why should arig be together and shu and tovi be separate? Like, shouldn't you darshan either like me, or like Rashi? The answer is no. We know there's a step of togetherness and shatness, so it's established the first two parts of the word shu and tovi are just quality threads, and the third part of the word represents the togetherness. You have to weave them together, but weaving them together and tying them together are the same zach, and therefore, I think tzitzis makes a lot of sense according to the Rosh Mishantz. Then the fourth shita is the Rambam. Now, there are different ways to interpret the Rambam. Let's see. Okay, everyone can tell me what they think is the simplest way of interpreting the Rambam. I'll read you the Rambam. Mochazer the Rambam. Says the Rambam. Do I have the right one? Help. In the beginning of the 10th perek of Hilchos Klayim, which is where he discusses Shatnez. Says, Ein osur b'klai begonim el osem or pishtam bilvad, etc. Okay, base, etc. Ketzad. Sorry, what does he start with? Kevan sheneschaber, first he says which fibers. Okay, we all know tzemer and pishtam on the derisa level. Kevan sheneschaber tzemer and pishtam tzad chibra olam. Any possible tzad chibra olam, any way you attach tzemer and pishtam, harizah klayim in a Torah, klayim midaraisa. Any way you attach it. Seems to be that tzitzis has no problem being klayim, right? No problem with arshaga. How does he get there? Ketzad. Tzemer and pishtam are torfim zemzev v'shosam. Tzemer and pishtam that you put together and smoothed. And he's does not read smoothing as combing. He reads smoothing as v'asmehim levadim, as felting. Right? Harayelu klayim. Right? The Rambam holds that felt is klayim d'oraisa, and he says that's what the smoothing means. The smoothing doesn't mean you comb it like everyone else. The smoothing means, well, you ever, right? Many people have seen a regular fedora, a regular hat. It's very smooth. How do they get it to be so smooth? They just mush fibers together. I assume it wouldn't be so smooth. The answer is, I don't know, you go to the hat factory, and you see, they mush the fibers together, and they wet them, and whatever they need to do, and then they smooth it out. Nowadays, they probably just put in a mold, right? But that's also smoothing. And you make a smooth surface. That's part of the felt-making process.
Some kind of pressure.
Yeah, it's kind of pressure. That's the shua means making felt. Tarfan v'tava osan ke'echad, if you mix them up and spin them together, v'arag begami tomi zeh, and weave a garment out of that, hareze klayim, that's klayim. Tofar beget semer v'shal pishtan, or if you. So what does he say? Is shua mean together or individually? What did he just say?
Together.
Does tavi va'ar mean together or individually? He just said together. So he's like Rashi. The Rambam says it means like Rashi. Shua tavi v'nos, and he says nos means already like most people. Biyacha, not like Rabbeinu Tam says they can be Shua Tovi knows each one individually and then mix. Not like the Rosh Hashanah says Shua Tovi each one, then you mix them through the nose. Shua Tovi and nose means together. Ah, if Shua Tovi and nose means together, then why say Shum Sad Chibur Ba'olam? Let's read on in the Rambam. Tafar Beget Semer B'shel Pishtan. If you sew Semer on a garment onto a Pishtan garment, I feel tougher b'meshi or tougher. Even if you use a neutral thread, or shetamer beget semer kudei pishtan, or beget pishtan kudei semer, or you use semer thread on a pishtan suit, or pishtan thread on a semer suit, or kosher kudei semer kudei pishtan, or you tie them together, or godlan, or braid them. I feel nothing semer pishtan sack for kupa korchag. Even if you just put them into a sack and wrap them around each other, real klein. That's all klein. But feel kosher dilshot semer dilshot pishtan. Even if you just tie one braided knot of semer to pishtan. So even if you just make a belt, you have pishtan, leather, tzemer, that's still fine. Chayim, kafal, big big tzemer, pishtan, a kosher, likewise, you just fold them together and tie in a knot, that's all claim. Shenemar, tzemer, pishtan, yachdav, mikol makom, kevin, shes, achid, nesar. Anytime it's this achid, it's nesar. Uminayin, shkoli, surin, eil, shel, Torah. How do we know that midaraisa, all these different, any possible way of combining them is claim? Midaraisa, shekhutsa, chakasal, lahatra, claim, it's tzitzis. You need a pasuk to matter tzitzis. Right. If it was only us to grab bottom, why would the Torah need to matter in tzitzis? Obviously, it's us to be the right. So Rambam is very clear that any Hebrew in the world is usher. But he interprets Shua Tovi the nose like Rabbeinu Tam. What is the chop that lets the Rambam reach this result? What's the fundamental difference in the way the Rambam reads Shua Tovi the nose versus the way everyone else reads Shua Tovi the nose?
Just examples.
Right?
Any one step can be
Shua. Exactly. Shua Tovi the nose, forget about whether it means Tzemer and Pishtam together or Tzemer and Pishtam individually. Doesn't mean the Shua Tovi and nose? Doesn't mean Shua and Tovi and nose? Or doesn't mean Shua or Tovi or knows. So this is a Mefurish Gemara in Nidan. Here we see the Rambam changing his mind. Right? How many people noticed the Rambam changing his mind? Didn't notice the Rambam changing his mind? All the Rishonim so far have assumed you need Shua, Tovi, or knows, or did they say Shua, Tovi, and knows? What did all the Rishonim assume? You need all three of them or any one of them? All three of them, right? Rambam says, each one separately needs to be Shua and Tovi and Noz. Rashi says together they need to be Shua and Tovi and Noz, and then we haven't solved them yet. And Rashi says no, each one needs to be Shua and Tovi and then Noz them together. Why do all the Rishonim assume this? Because it's a Mafurish Gemara in Nida. The Gemara says in Nida, Achim Shua Tovi and Noz. Right? Then it has to be Shua Tovi and Noz. Maslar Vashi, Ema O Shua O Tovi O Noz. Right? Marzutra says it's be Shua Tovi and Noz. Rashi says, man, maybe Shua O Tovi O Noz. The Gemara says, the help of Marzutra, I mean, Afkinim Rachman and Chadalishna. Halach like Marzutra, because it has one word, doesn't say Shua Tovi Noz. It says Shatnez. The Shatnez is a uniting word, is a combining word, means you need Shua Tovi and Noz. But first, Gemara Nida, they need Shua and Tovi and Noz in order to be Shatnez on the Doraisa level. Mefurish Gemara. And the Ram of here is from Shnayas. I don't know if it's in this one. No, but the Ram of here is from Shnayas, if you read this. Shua hu alivod, neishem achlikin, espe okso adavar hamaluvad, betagam betach zabayis, yeshua yisbeisa. Shua is felt, because you have to smooth out the surface, and betach, smoothing, is targum shua. Tovi hu shiart semer pishim yachim yitmei amkutim. Tovi means you mix it together and spin them. Noz hu shiart min yachim orig. Noz means you weave them together. Vumi loshen arman min yano eslam achibur var eichot. Vim ir semer pishim vitok meim yachim chutim v'argo beget v'lovdo achar kach v'hechlik as panik kosh osm vigdei malfam for summon. If you do Tovi together and Noz together and then Shua together, it's funny, he considers like you smooth it after you weave it, not the kind of felt we're used to. Hare Yaziya also begged Klayim. Zed Dafkum Klayim Shal Torah, Shein and Nikra Klayim Shibu, Kol Shlosh Adracham Halu. It's only Klayim Dorais, if you have all three. Vachomash Zul Sarai Klayim Dirisophim. Otherwise, it's only Klayim Dirabonan. In the Madura Kama of the Rambam, if anyone has a regular Shas Masechus Nida, the Pirish Mishnayis, the Rambam ends there. It's only Klayim Dorais if you have all three together like everyone else. Mufirish Gemara. Then in the Madura Basra, which is all before the Rambam wrote Mishnah Torah, the Rambam changed his mind. And he said, Cain kusvut sasman agonim. He kept his old lashon. He says, that's what I'll let right. He just flipped it. He kept his old lashon. He needs Shua and Tovi and Noz. But he flipped it and says, yeah, that's what some gaonim wrote. V'zeh etzli bilti nachum, but it's wrong, according to me. Ela kol echmein klayim shalor. Shua alone is klayim deraisa. Tovi alone is klayim deraisa. Arig alone is klayim deraisa. Isn't it a foolish gemara? That's machlokas of Rashi mar zutra and helchus like mar zutra. Right? It's not just mixes gaonim. But also lashon akasim the Gemara Nida ain't a lashon atamin el perish. That line helps the Gemara zuch the Gemara Nida. That's not part of the Gemara. That's a perish of the Mikdas Gaonim that they stuck in, right? Okay. Then he interprets the rest. So the Rambam, we understand everyone here is passing like the Gemara in Mefurish Gemara Nida helps the Gemara Zutra that you need Shua and Tovi and Noz. It's an and, not like Rav Ashi thought it was an or. But the Rambam in the Madur Basra changed his mind. Quickly tacked on a kach kotz mitzvahs gaonim ve'inu nachon, and said, no, that's only a later gloss to the Gemara by the mitzvahs gaonim. In fact, the Hilchos says, not like by Zutra, like Ravashi, Shua o Tovi onos. That's the way the Rambam's Giras in the Gemara just said, Maskula Ravashi, Amar o Shua o Tovi onos, and didn't have the next line. All right, if you read Maskula Ravashi, that's not locha. Ravashi had the maskif, he had the last word. So that's what the Rambam does is he says, but, and he has to do this by crossing out a line in the Gemara Nida and saying that that's only a addition of the Gaonim. I mean, this is not a very radical thing. We've shown them all over Shas. Say all kinds of lines are added by the later Gaonim. What?
That's just the Gemara. What about the
Pasuk?
What about the word
Chumash? What about Shatnez? Shatnez means has to be Shua or Tovi or Noz.
But the Torah says one word, which is all encompassing.
So the answer is the Torah said one word, which is giving you three different examples. You're saying it helps with Gemara Zutra, actually, as a Svara. So apparently the Rambam didn't think that was a good Svara, just because one word doesn't prove you need all them together, because it's one word of three examples. It's one word of a concept that has three different epitenses. Okay, so that's what he says, but it means either Shua Biyachan or Tovi Biyachan, or, again, this is the Pshat and the Rambam, or Noz Biyachan, And then, how does the Rambam deal with tzitzis? It's not sure of the yachad. It's not. And he just has to make one assumption. Now we see, I mean, he did this even in Madura Kama, but why does he have to reinterpret shua to mean smoothing instead of combing? Because if you comb things together, then you can't do anything with them. You can't wear them in any way. They're not a beggar. They're not even together. What do you mean comb together? Combing together doesn't make sense. Just combing things together. So then how do you put, what do you do next? So now he says, oh, shua means smoothing, making felt. And that's why the Rambam is, agav, there is a nafgamina to this idea of o, which is why the Rambam is a bit of a shitas yachid. Most Rishonim assume that shatnez of felt is only drabanan, because it's not tovi v'noz, shua, but it's not, might be shua, it's comb, but it's not tovi v'noz. The Rambam assumes felt is asur d'oraisa and shatnez, because it's shua, doesn't have to be tovi v'noz. Fine. But now, what does Rambam just have to add? Now, how does Rambam make sense? Oh, why sits a shatnez, it's not shua, and it's not tovi, and it's not nose. So the answer is?
Nose.
What?
Nose means time.
No, nose means weaving, but any Hebrew. What are the, talking to you, three examples, right? You can make them into felt together, you can make them into a thread together, or you can take threads and weave them together, right? So if the Torah gives you three different examples of putting things together, then what's the yisod that comes out of it?
Any Hebrew.
These are just examples of any Hebrew, right? And same thing here, right? Lav davka. Just examples of Chibur. I know this is not Chibur Chaim, we'll have to come back to that. That once the Rambam says, oh, again, for Rashi, you say all three together. How can that be an example? You need three different steps of Chibur. That's not an example. But for the Rambam, it's different options of Chibur. You can be Chibur one way, or the other way, or the other way. So you can also be Chibur a fourth way and a fifth way. That these are just examples of Kol Chibur Sheba Olam, the Enochanami. The Rambam might have thought these three rivers were dafka, but once the Gemara talks about being matir tzitzis, it's obvious that we understand that these three ways are examples of chibur.
Why does the Rambam say that combing the fibers just shua is, since it's not making the beggar, that that's not enough? It's mishana anymore, it gives me hana.
Okay. You know what? After you're right, I'll retract. After you're right, it's not. I realize it's not mocha. It works out nicely, but it's not mocha. You're right. Yeah, more.
Well, you're giving three examples. We have different clothing in the Torah. That, all right, if you have one example, you say you can learn. Then they say, oh, no, but two is mamayit, only those two. Okay, and you say maybe two, but somebody hold for three. Three is for sure mamayit. So if you have three examples, could you use those principles, say, only these three?
Okay, so I saw in some of the Achronim wanted to say that that if you look in the Rambam, the end of Gimel, he says, it could be that he used the word yachdov to, I mean, this is, we'll see, different. He used the word yachdov, shows that these are just examples. These are examples of yachdov. Shatn is yachdov. These three examples of yachdov. But since it says yachdov, it means they're just examples. Oh, once it says yachdov, why didn't Shua Tovi knows? So I saw an answer in the Achronim. No, said yachdov, you would have thought any type of togetherness, even if they're not well attached. Shua Tovi V'noz says it has to be at least as strong an attachment as Shua Tovi V'noz as an example. So, for example, you can't just take fibers and, you know, mishmash them together. If you just take fibers and just throw them together and then lie down on them, or, stuff them in your whatever, then that's not Shabbos. Because even though Yachdav alone would have said any togetherness, but no, Shua Tovi knows it has to be togetherness that's as strong a chibur Shua Tovi your nose. If they're together in a way that binds them as strongly as felting or spinning or weaving, then that's usher. So it could be that Yachdav teach you they're just examples and Huad and other examples. Shua Tovi the nose teach you the standard by which to measure all examples, and it could still work out for the Rambam. Okay, that's I think the Pashut Pshat of the Rambam, but we'll see Reb Chaim in a moment. Okay, so these are four basic different ways of interpreting Shua Tovi V'noz. Either Rashi, you have to do them all to both fibers together, and that's still B'tzarif Ian for now. Or even Tom, do them all separately, and Shuzer, knows means Shuzer, and then mix them together. And you get Shatnez, the Rashi Shans, who said two separately, just a standard string, and then knows is an example of mixing together. And the Rambam, who says these are three different examples of mixing together, but the klal is kol chiva shava olam. Then he solves the problem very nicely. He just has to erase one line of the Gemara Nida, which is the difference between Madur Kama and Madur Basra. Rashi is, of course, still Bitzar Ion. For Rashi, we don't understand Tzitzis, right? Tzitzis is definitely not Shua Tovi and Noz together. It's two totally separate things that you just tie a knot. So what's pshat in Rashi? So there are two ways to defend Rashi, I think. One is the Raivid, right? The Raivid's Pirush and Toras Kohanim, always a very, very good resource, underutilized resource, the Raivid's Pirush and Toras Kohanim. If anyone has any influence at Bar-Ilan University, you should tell them to put it on the CD. Then people will start recognizing the value of Raivid and Toras Kohanim. As long as it's you have to read it in a book, then it's not going to get its proper due. The Raivid and Toras Kohanim says here, and the Raivid and Toras Kohanim is actually written by the Raivid. Right, the standard fancy Torah's konims come with the Ravid and the Rashmi Shantz. The Rashmi Shantz, not so clear if it was written by the Rashmi Shantz. It might have been a different Rishon of the Bali Tosfos, which is also pretty good. I mean, it wasn't written by my grandmother. It was written by someone around the time and place of the Rashmi Shantz. But it may or may not have been the Rashmi Shantz himself. Nowadays, it's Mekubal to assume that it wasn't the Rashmi Shantz, it was a different Bali Tosfos. But the Ravid was actually written by the Ravid. The Ravid loved to write Pirushim on weird things. You know, he must have been very cool in his time, right? He wrote Yerushim on, you know, Kinim, and on Toras Kohanim, and he liked cool things. So the Ravid says here, Minayin the Rabbis Halvadim, etc. Tavol Meshavish Galdor Shushu Tov Minos Mashmi Hacha. So it says felt is usher because it's Shua. Mashmi Hacha the Hami Darsh Oshua Tov Minos. So first he's a Hami like the Rambam. Maybe only Shua or Tov your nose enough. No, but we're neither. I mean, it helps us. We're such a dumb. We need to write Shua Tovi Vinoz, but you know, we need to ask your Chonach Ad Lishna. But after that, we're going to come across Machta the Yalma. Okay, so that's first very clear. He has a Havmi that felt is Ashton Raisa because it's Shua. No, it means felt is Ashton Rabbanan as in a Smachta. But Mido Raisa, he's not willing to erase any lines in Nida. He needs Shua Tovi and Nose. Okay, the Amiyu Hechad Avi Shua Tovi Chad Chad Lechude Vikotlu Adi Adadi. What if it's Shua Tovi separately and then you tie them? How Kutra Ovid? Big chiddush. He says, tying together counts like Shua Tovi and Nose together originally. Meaning, if I do comb and spin them separately and then weave them together, that's not Klai Midoraisa. It's not Klai Midorabana. It's not Klai Midoraisa. But if I tie them together, tying is better than weaving. Weaving alone is not Klai Midoraisa. But tying is as good as combing, spinning, and weaving. So we hold like Rashi, we combing, spinning, and weaving together. But tying counts as all three. How does he know that? Obviously, how he knows that. Meaning, if you want to say, it counts like weaving of nose, but where's the shua b'tovi? Tying the tzitzu to shari v'alva amu asmin atar, shmami nasha, kesher, chomer, yosum na'ari. Ari together is not climbing the raisa, because it's missing the shua b'tovi. But tying together is Klai Midoraisa. It counts like all three. Okay, and then the last piece is not relevant to us. So one answer is the Ravid Shira equals Shua plus Tovi plus Arig. Right? Right? Shira is so strong, it counts like Shua, Tovi, and Nose. This is a bit of a chiddush, really? I mean, normally we would think, if I asked you, like, what's more mixed? If I tie a string onto the corner or if I weave them into a baguette? Our intuition, I think, would be that weaving into a baguette is more mixed. Yeah, tie them, say untie. You know, the Ravid had a big chiddush. Not only is tying as strong a chibur as weaving, tying is a much stronger chibur than weaving. Because weaving alone doesn't make Shabbos Midoraisa. Tying is the equivalent of Shua plus Tovi plus Arig. That's a very big chiddush. I'm not really so sure what his svar is. The only thing I could think is that when you weave things together, you know, you could unravel, the weaving could unravel. Right, again, nowadays what we do is we sew the ends, etc. Not sure what he would say about that. But when you weave things together, it could unravel. Like a little kid in like kindergarten like weaves a pothole or whatever. So if you don't tie the end, right, then it unravels. They have to tie the end. So you can say, weaving, maybe, yeah, weaving, it could unravel. It's not such a big chibur. That's only if you have Shuva, Tovi, and Nose, the Yachad. But tying doesn't come out. I know, in art sets, they always seem to. But at least if you tie things well, like with a Boy Scout knot, right? If you tie things, that is a stronger Hebrew than weaving. Say, tying is such a strong Hebrew, that's equivalent to Shui Tov even knows, because it doesn't unravel. And a weaving also won't unravel if you tie it. But if you just weave it, that's weak. But if you tie it, that's stronger. This is a big chiddush. I still think it's a big chiddush to say that. You know, Shira is so much stronger Hebrew than Ariga, that it counts as Shua Tovi and knows. But that's what the Ravid says.
You could maybe say that tying is a much more obvious Hebrew, because you actually, when you tie, you still have the separate elements visible, and you've tied them together.
So you're not trying to defend the Ravid. You're trying to say something else, right?
Explain why.
I think you're going in a slightly different way, though. I'd rather go in this slightly different way, although I might end up saying taking a slightly different direction. The way you're saying it sounds a little more like the formulation of the Mizrahi, the Ala Torah on Rashi, Ala Torah on Shua Tov Vinos. I think the Mizrahi takes your derech. Reb Chaim says in a slightly different formulation, but let's take one step at a time. What does Reb Chaim say? The Aruch Laner here says the same thing. In general, the Aruch Laner is always among all the Akronim on the Daf Nei Avamos, tries his best to defend Rashi. But Reb Chaim says it a little bit more lumdish than the Aruch Laner. But he says that for Rashi, what do you have to say? For Rashi, what you have to say is, well, what's Reb Chaim going to say? It has to start with the words two dinim, right? You have to say there's two different tracks of shatnez. That's the chap of the, again, Reb Chaim just says it a little fancier. The Aruch Laner already says it on the daf. Right, I don't know, is there an Aruch Laner here? There's got to be, yeah. The Aruch Laner says, one second. Yeah. That miyachtav yad'inan beis tchifos, and he just sticks something in that Rashi was like, throw the beis tchifos means with a kesher. So basically, yachtav means a kesher, according to him. What does it mean, two tchifos? It means you do two stitches and tie it. So yachtav means a kesher. If you use the Ariga track, if you use the Shatnez track, then you need Shua Tov Vinos. Right? He already hints at the lumps of Chaim. He says that, no, if you use the Shatnez track, which is, ends with Ariga, then it's Shua Tov Vinos. But if you use the Yachtov track, which is Kshira, then you don't need Shua Tov Vinos, Yachtov. So he's already saying there's two tracks to achieve Klayim. So this is the Aruch Laner and Reb Chaim. He says that there are two tracks to Klayim. One track is nafik from shatnez, which means shua, tovi, the nose. The other track comes from yachtav, which means kshira, etc. Now, the Aruch Laner, you know, he's not so clear exactly what the difference between these tracks is. You know, does he mean like the Ravid, they're just two equivalent ways of chibur, or does he mean they're two fundamentally different tracks? That's not so clear. Reb Chaim says, not just two tracks, right? Like the Ravid. That, oh, there's two different ways to attach things, and they end up being equivalent. No, two totally different tracks. One way of Shua Tov Vinos, one way of Shira, and Tfir, right? That's Shnei Tchifos. There's two different tracks. One track is Shua Tov Vinos. If you originally combine them into one process from the very earth, from the very animal, from the very raw materials, you combine them into one chefta. That's the Shabbos track. The other track, what does he say here? This track is one chefta of semer pishtin meikara. One track is, if you have a chefza that been semer pishtim since human hands touched it. Basically, as soon as God got out of the picture, kviyachol, he grew it on the sheep, he grew it on your farm. The minute you start the processing, you process it as a joint chefz of shatnish semer pishtim. That's one track. And that's only usher for shua biyachad, tovi biyachad, noz biyachad. Because it has to be one unified chefza without any separation. Then there's another track that's a diametrical opposite. This is two chefzos attached into one beged. That's the Yachtov track, the Tzitzis track. Right? So it's not that Rashi thinks it's not like the Raivin. I'm not sure what the Urchlinair means. I think he means more like the Grach. It's not like the Raivin. The Raivin says, look, there's one track. But tying is the equivalent of Shua Tovi Venosing. No, there's two different tracks. There's two different ways to get shatnez. Lo Silva Shatnez Yachtov. Semer Pishtim Yachtov. One track is shatnez. That is, you make them never separate identities. From the very get-go, there's one new species of Semer Pishtim called shatnez. The other track is, no, they're two totally separate things. You make two totally separate things, and then artificially attach them together. But you see on the right, you see Temer, and the left, you see Pishtim. That is also Usher. That's Yachtov, and that's what includes Tzitzis. Right? Shatnez is not supposed to include Tzitzis. Tzitzis isn't the Shatnez part of Shatnez. It's the Yachtov part of Shatnez. But what falls in between the two tracks, let's say you would have like Shua Tovi separately and Noz B'Yachad. What falls in between the two tracks, like, they're not two separate things attached, because you weave them together. But they're not one united chetzah the whole time, because you carded and spun them separately. That falls between the cracks, and that's not shatnez at all. So that's the saying, there are two kinds of shatnez. It can be unified from the beginning and never separate, or it can be still separate, just attached to each other. Like, here's the string of temer, here's the beged of pishtim, or... you have pants, you know, here's one, you know, or jacket. Here's one part of the jacket at Semer. The back of the jacket is Pishtim, and I sewed them together. That's the second track. But anything that's in between the tracks is not, anything in between the tracks is not shatnez. That's basically, the Mizrahi says the same thing. He says, look, if it looks like Semer, looks like Pishtim, you attach them, that's shatnez. If it's Shua Tov your nose from the beginning, that's shatnez. But if it's in between, like, now they're together. But they were started out separate. That's not shatnez. That's what I think the Arthlaner means. That's what the Grach means. That's what the Mizrahi says on the Torah. The question is, what the Grach added to everyone else is just like the logic behind this, right? Because first Yontif.
How is this
Pshat
of Yachtov? How is that different from
the Rash Mishans? How is that different from the Rash Mishans? The Rash Mishans basically reads the Yachtov into nose. He says Shua and Tovi means each one has to be at least quality strings. And then nose means that they have to be attached. He's reading that into the nose, right? Nose means they can be attached in any way. At least that's the way we're interpreting the Rashi Shans. For Rashi, you know, nose means they have to be dafka woven together. Doesn't mean any way of attaching, right? Tying doesn't count as nose. Or actually, we're not sure. But that's the difference. For Rashi, he's not getting from Shans at all. Shans is a different track. For the Rashi Shans, there's one track. You make it both into strings, then attach them some fashion. For Rashi, there's two tracks. Now, the only question is, like, not why should there be two tracks? Okay, so we find a diuk in the pasuk for the two tracks. The real question is just, you know, it could be just Tzvei Dinim, right? You have a Makor L'Chamish. I always hate to people say Tzvei Dinim with no Makor whatsoever. You know, Mehechi tasted Tzvei Dinim. God gave the Torah once. But if you have Shatnez and you have Yachtov and you darsh them in different ways, then it's not so crazy to say Tzvei Dinim. The chap of the Reb Chaim is... like, why should there be Tzvei Dinim? Why should the... what's in between? In between is... right? This is not Usur Minatorah. In between is... starts out separate, right? Then combined... by weaving, right? If it starts out separate, then you weave it together, Shua and Nose separate, and then Shua and Tovi separate, and then Nose together, or Shua separate, and then Tovi and Nose together, then that falls between the cracks, and that is Mutter Minatorah. Again, I'm not playing Halachol Nisus all the Gezeirah and Derubah.
Why, according to Rashi, should this fall between the cracks? Like, why shouldn't everything be just as bad as a sewing together two fabrics? If sewing together two fabrics is usher, shouldn't it be kal v'chomer weaving together two strings is usher, and kal v'chomer shua totally knows biyach is usher? Why do you need two tracks? If attaching is usher, kal v'chomer weaving and totally together is usher. So what's the logic? What's the logic? Why shouldn't... Why not kol shekein? If a minor attaching of two separate things is usher, shouldn't it be kol shekein a better attaching that combines them is usher? So that is the question that Rav Chaim brilliantly answers. Rav Chaim uses a big cha. Rav Chaim says, no. Can anyone tell me why? Tak, it's not a kol shekein. Just because you tied tzitzis onto pishtin that's usher, doesn't mean if you wove them together it would be usher. Anyone think of why weaving them together would make a mutter, even though like tying separate pieces would not be mutter? Ah, what about bittel, right? What about bittel, right? Think of a bittel, right? If I glue a piece of pork, right? If I glue a piece of pork onto my cholent, then that's usher. But if I blend it in, it's mutter because it's a bittel. This is Tosa already asked this. Kasha, he says, tzemer and pishtim, right? Unless you hold efshel tzamtzim, unless you, like, you can get exactly the borderline, which is very hard. Even if you hold efshel, it's not so easy. Why isn't all shatnez mutter? Why isn't all shatnez mutter? Because it's batel barov. Either the tzemer is more. Yeah, what are the odds? Could be 50-50. Either there's more tzemer, so it's batel barov, the pishtim's batel, or it's more pishtim, the tzemer's batel. So therefore, there's no shatnez unless you're a magician who knows how to get 50-50. Right? You need ruach hakodesh to make shatnez. Obviously, it's ridiculous. Obviously, shatnez is usher, even if it's 51-49. Even if Gemara says, even if it's 99-1. No bittel b'shishim. Why is shatnez usher? So the obvious answer is, just the obvious common sense answer, why don't we say bittel barov? Because the Torah says shat is usher, that means there's no bittel barov, right? That's a simple shot. There's no, you don't need any lundus. What does Rav Chaim say? He says, hold on a second. He says, hold on a second. He says, their shatnez is usher, there's certain series of custom, there's no bittel barov. He says, hold on a second. What about in this case? Two cheftes, which are just tied, you know, attached into one beged by shira or tfira. Why is there no bittel barov if I tie wool strings onto my linen beged? Or if I sew, like, one panel of wool onto one panel of linen? Is there bittel barov there?
There's no tarobas.
Obviously, there's no bittel barov if each one is visible separately. That's what Morty was saying. That's what Mizrahi said, just he didn't cop the bittel barov part. The obviously there's no bittel barov if they're two separate things tied to each other. Push if there's no bittel barov because you can see each one separately, right? If I stick a piece, if I, you know, take one piece of ham and I put in a shoebox with 10 apples, there's no bittel barov because I can see the ham and I can see the apples. Even if I crazy glue them together, there's still no bittel barov because the ham is over here and the apples are over there. There's only bittel barov if they're mixed and it's not nicker which is which. So that's Rav Chaim's shot. Here, there's no bittel barov because there's no tarovis. There now, you can see which is which. There's attachment, there's chibur, but there's no tarovis. What about the case of where Yeshua and Tovia knows them biyachad? Then you have to have a microscope and have a $100,000 laboratory to tell what's semer pishim. That's taka tarovis. Why is there no bittel barov if Yeshua Tovia knows biyachad? Easy. Then there's no bit. There should be bittel barov, but there's no bittel barov because of the gzeiras hakasov of shatnez. What's gzeiras hakasov? There's a gzeiras hakasov. What's gzeiras hakasov? It's not that there's a gzeiras hakasov that klayim is exempt from bittel barov. The gzeiras hakasov. How does Rav Chaim read it for Rashi? That there's a chetza of shatnez, which is defined as a new fiber called shatnez, and it's not shatnez bittel barov. There's a fiber called shatnez, which is semer pishtim yachda. That fiber called shatnez is a birgim pnei atzmo, and there's no bittel barov. And Androgynous doesn't have bittel barov. He is a new kind of, he is a new kind of thing. So that's a gzeiras hakasov, that there's a fiber called shatnez, right? Which is usur regardless. So now we start to understand Reb Chaim's shot. There are two tracks. One track is yachdav, where you take two things and they're separate things. There's no bit of the world you attach them. That's pashat usur. I'm wearing tzemer and pishtan attached. There's another track, shui tov benos biyachad, where taka they're mevutal in each other, they're meuriv with each other. But exeris the cause of shatn is that there's a chetza called shui tov benos, a new fiber, which you don't call bitl merov, you call that the fiber of shatness. But what happens in the middle? In the middle, you didn't do the shuvita, you didn't do it all together. You didn't combine them in the absolute way. So there are two separate fibers. You have two separate fibers, which are mi'urav, and therefore you end up with bitl merov. When you have two separate fibers that are ma'urav, because not shatn is biyachad, it's shuim tov separately and knows biyachad, then you have bit of a rov, and that's the chaf of Reb Chaim. Why do you need two tracks? One track is two separate things attached, and it's obvious there's no bit of a rov. But you still would think that anytime you weave them and mishmash them, together well, that's still an isser, that's mutter, because of bit of a rov. So there's a second, one track, obviously no bit of a robe. A second track, because there is a cause of the no bit of a robe. Because I make them, Shua Tov, even knows biyachad, they're so close together that they can make a new fiber with called the Haloshim Shatnez, which is the Xeris, because of that it's usser. But if I'm neither track, if I'm not Shatnez, and I'm not separate pieces, then it's mutter, because of bit of a robe. And he brought a proof. What's the proof that the Reb Chaim brought? That there's such thing as bitl berov and shatnez, at least l'shitas a Rambam, he brought this proof, said this is the machlokes Rambam and Raivin. The Rambam says, if you sew leather, you sew sheep leather with linen threads, even though there might accidentally be some wool left on the leather, and it might get caught up by the sewing, it's mutter because it's bitl berov. And the Raivin says, that's ridiculous. There's no bitl berov in semer and pishtim. Says the Raivin holds, not like my Vark. There's never bitl berov in semer and pishtim. Right? The Raivin holds, there's no bitl berov in semer and pishtim. What does the Rambam say? No, the Rambam holds like Rashi. He says, there's no bitl berov in some cases, but in the case where you have no bitl berov in Shua told your nose, but in the case where you sewed something and some other strings got caught in the chud ha-pishtan, then there's bitl berov, and that's exactly, it's hesper for Rashi, that there can be bitl berov by semer and pishtan. Not if they're two separate pieces, that's the yachdav track, like tzitzis. Tzitzis pashut, there's no bitl berov. Tzitzis is pashut that it's usur, because there's no bitl berov, you don't need fancy psukim. And now you have the shatnez track, that's exer skas, no bitl berov. But, and that's why tzitzis exempt from shua tov minos. Tzitzis doesn't need exer skas to help it be shatnez. It's obviously shatnez. But if you're neither track, you're not yachta, which means two separate things together, attached, which is we swear not bitl berov. You're not shatnez, which is zero sakas, no bitl berov. Then you fall in the middle, like this case of the Rambam, where you sew one thing and you attach a piece of wool that was left sticking to the leather in the sewing thread. That is bitl berov.
The middle case where you're weaving, though, you have to be more, because you could have a weaving of very coarse fibers and then. You do see it. It's not. When would it actually be buckled?
But in normal weaving, let's say this shirt.
Theoretically,
I admit, but in normal, if this shirt was woven of pishtun threads and semer threads, but like regular garments, I mean, this shirts are usually 100% cotton, but very often you buy a lot of things, you look at it, it says 40% rayon and 60% polyester and 30% wool and whatever it is. You buy a lot of things like that. I've seen things 40% wool, 60% polyester. Does anyone see the wool in the polyester? No, in normal cases. So if you would buy something that said, nowadays, if you would buy something, Reb Chaim's Chap and Rashi, if you would buy something that says 40% wool, 60% linen, what does that mean? That in the factory, they bought a spool of wool, they bought a spool of linen, and wove them together, Shua v'tovi separately, knows biyachad, that would still be us to our bottom, but that would not be Klayim in a Torah, because it's not yachdov, because it's not two separate chetzos, there's bitl berov. And it's not shatnez, so there's no xeris akasov to make it a special kolo shatnez that there's no bit of a rove, full between the cracks. And therefore, taka, 40% wool is bustled to the 60% linen, and we don't write it, it's pure linen, and it's not shatnez at all. Actually, we do our bonon,
They would, I think, be Rabbanan, they would consider it Shatnez, but that wouldn't be Shatnez, and that's Reb Chaim's defense of Rashi.
That would be.
According to Reb Chaim, wouldn't there also be a problem to make a garment? Like, meaning, you can't, you can wear it, but wouldn't there be a problem of giving a
Of Bittul Ishul HaChila?
Yeah.
Okay, but according to many Rishonim, Bittul Ishul HaChila is only Xerud Rabbanan, so that needn't concern us, or what if it was made, that needn't concern us. That's a brilliant Reb Chaim. Again, the two tracks, Reb Chaim, the Aruch Lanier basically says two tracks. The Rabbanan also said two tracks, but he tried to make them both the same idea. And the Mizrahi also said two tracks and already said, well, one you see them separate, the other you don't see each one separately. But Reb Chaim is the one who brought in the Kasher of Bittul Barov and used it to brilliantly explain this Rashi. Agav, Reb Chaim himself thinks that's shot in the Rambam also. This is a fight I have with Reb Chaim. There's 100 achronim on either side. But Reb Chaim wants to say the Rambam also holds two tracks. He wants to say, no, the Rambam also holds two tracks. Well, there's one track of shotness, which is exempt from Bittul Barov, and another track of Yachtov. Says that's why the Rambam says, oh, he brings in Shatnez, then he brings in Yachtov. I don't think Reb Chaim pasuk shat. Reb Chaim says, why does the Rambam need Shatnez and Yachtov? What? If Shatnez is examples of Chibur, and Yachtov is Shatnez is examples of any Chibur in the world. Yachtov is any Chibur in the world. Why do you need both? It must be he also held two tracks. I don't think Reb Chaim's right about the Rambam. No, Reb Chaim, everything has to be in the Rambam also. But because the Rambam starts out by saying, listen, Kaven should discover at Semer Pishon Sad Chibur Ba'olam, how he's a claim in a Torah, Ketzad Semer Pishon Sharpen Zev Shah Osam, Tarvam and Tava Osam, etc. He says, any Chibur Shah Ba'olam, Ketzad Shah and Tavi and Nose. So it sounds like it's all one did for the Rambam. So Reb Chaim wants to read this into the Rambam, but I think the Pashup Shah is no, the Rambam helps what I wrote there. That's what most Achronim say, that Reb Chaim's the most brilliant defense of Rashi. But I'm sure that's not what the Rambam meant. Oh, why did the Rambam mean both Yachtov and Shatnez? Shatnez is called Chibur Shel Olam, and Yachtov is called Chibur Shel Olam. I already said, if only Shatnez, you would have thought only these three kinds of Chibur. If only Yachtov, you would have thought even a very loose Chibur. Yachtov means any Chibur, but Shatnez means it has to be as strong as these three examples. So I think that's what many Achronim writers shot in the Rambam. Okay, we didn't get up to the very last line in the Gemara here, which is, Elakula Mishatnez Nafka, but since it's already 12:45, we can leave the very last line in the Gemara for next time, and then we'll go on to the next Gemara.